What we're doing is holding back a certain element of the aid, which we don't believe is relevant to the immediate needs of this government in terms of the roadmap or in terms of their security.
That's the voice of Secretary of State John Kerry announcing that the United States would freeze some of its aid to Egypt, including some Apache helicopters, tank parts, Harpoon missiles, warplanes, and about $260 million. U.S. leaders have still refrained from using that word coup to describe the military's takeover of the Egyptian government some months ago, back in July, a designation that would automatically prohibit American aid to Egypt under U.S. law. But the Obama administration's decision to freeze some of those assets is meant as a slap on the wrist, it seems, for the Egyptian leadership. The country has depended on American aid for 35 years, ever since Egypt signed the Camp David peace accords with Israel and the United States back in September of 1978. Israel is not pleased, and we're going to get into that with Ambassador Daniel Kurtzer, former U.S. ambassador to Egypt and Israel. He's now professor of Middle East policy studies at Princeton University. Ambassador, hello.
Hello, Todd.
Well, I just listed some of the things that are being withheld: weapons, Apache helicopters, Harpoon missiles, and that $260 million. Only a fraction of what we send to Egypt. I mean, really a slap on the wrist, right?
Well, I don't think it's a slap on the wrist. I think it's a shot in our own foot. We've had a strategic relationship with this country for 35 years. It's accomplished a great deal for us in terms of cementing the peace process with Israel and trying to expand it in the rest of the Arab world. In terms of intelligence, military, and diplomatic cooperation, we have always paid the price of this aid in tolerating dictatorial authoritarian governance in Egypt during the period of Hosni Mubarak. So why we're doing this now at a time of great turmoil in the Middle East, frankly, makes no sense.
But hasn't there been some political pressure, moral pressure, I don't know what you call it, for the United States to acknowledge the fact that this is indeed a coup, even if we can't use that dirty word because it has legal implications? Hasn't there been pressure to respond to the fact that the military took over from an elected government in Egypt?
Well, there's no question that the revolution in Egypt has taken a number of twists and turns, which we don't support, including the fact that the democratically elected government of Mohamed Morsi was ousted by the military in July. But it is a revolution, and revolutions go through a number of very challenging stages. Recall our own revolution. It took more than 15 years until our constitutional form of government took hold, and we didn't solve a lot of our problems for decades. I'm not suggesting that we simply turn over and accept the human rights and humanitarian abuses that are underway in Egypt. I think we have a very significant dialogue with the Egyptian government. We have ways of expressing our concern without taking actions that can call into question this strategic relationship. That's the concern that I have.
It may call into question partially the strategic relationship, Ambassador Daniel Kurtzer. On the other hand, $260 million withheld, but more than $1 billion more still flowing. Pardon the analogy. It's not meant to demean anyone, but it sort of seems like docking part of somebody's allowance, but you can still, you know, do your thing. Or am I misreading it?
No, I don't think you're misreading. I think the administration is trying to find a comfort zone between those who want to see all of the aid cut off as a means of expressing our discontent with Egyptian policy, and those who argue that the cutoff of aid is not going to have any particular impact on Egypt's decision-making anyway. In fact, the amount of aid we provide, even if we provided all of it, is much less significant today in terms of Egypt's overall economy than it was 30 years ago. And on the other hand, Egypt is in an economic crisis since the revolution, which, you know, there will be an impact, but it's going to impact on ordinary people. The military, in fact, does not need the Apache helicopters and airplanes that we're stopping the delivery of. So it's a political move that really has very little impact and I think will exhibit very little leverage on Egyptian decision making.
There are many voices on this side of the equation, as you mentioned, that want aid cut off entirely to Egypt. What would be the consequence in your estimation, Ambassador Kurtzer, if the United States were to cut off all aid to Egypt, or at least military aid? Let's say that.
Well, I think the Egyptians are mature enough not to fall over the cliff. In other words, they're not going to disregard the peace treaty with Israel the day after we cut off aid, and they probably won't cut relations with us. But they will find alternative means of addressing their needs, including Arab states, Saudi Arabia and others that are unhappy with the U.S. decision. They will find means of distancing themselves from us on issues that are important to us. For example, giving our warships, including our nuclear-powered warships, precedence in moving through the Suez Canal. That will complicate our naval planning as we resupply our forces in the Gulf or involve logistics of supporting our troops east of Egypt. And there will be a fairly significant cutback in a number of relationships, including intelligence relationships that have proved to be very useful to us. So it's not going to be an immediate break of relations, but we will have lost a lot of very important assets that help our national security. And it's not going to impact, I believe, any of Egypt's decision-making with respect to the threat that it sees in the Muslim Brotherhood activities in that country.
It's fascinating that even when a powerful country like the United States withholds aid, there's always someone else to step into the breach and do the job that you were doing. Ambassador Kurtzer, let's talk about Israel before we let you go, because the Israelis aren't happy about this decision. There is no denying that the money that we send both to Israel and to Jordan and to Egypt for any of its other purposes does have a stabilizing effect. Israel wants to see that stabilizing effect of U.S. cash continue, and they're not happy.
Well, for sure, Todd, for two reasons. Number one, there is a long-term concern about the stability of the peace treaty. As I said, I don't think it's called into jeopardy as a result of this move. But over the long term, I think the Israelis are nervous. But more immediately, the Egyptian government, under this interim government backed by the military, has not only acted against the Muslim Brotherhood, but they have also been quite active in Sinai in pushing back against violent and terrorist elements. At a moment when Israel sees Egypt finally taking significant action against Islamist terrorists, the United States is, in a sense, punishing Egypt. And I think that makes the Israelis very worried.
An announcement from the U.S. government that we will withhold aid to Egypt, including weapons, tank parts, Harpoon missiles, and $260 million of the total aid package that goes from the U.S. to Egypt. Ambassador Daniel Kurtzer, former U.S. ambassador to Egypt and Israel and professor of Middle East policy studies at Princeton, thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.